Hey there, I'm Matthew Foley and this is ISO Insights, where God's truth grows in the midst of current culture, renewing the mind and spirit. Welcome back to ISO Insights, and I have Dylan Standridge. We are just diving right in. So I wanted to say real quick that a while back, Dylan had come with Pastor Adam Bauer, a friend of both of ours, to an ISO conference, and he really started to minister to a lot of people in the room. And I saw him like operating in word of knowledge. And you know, it's real when people start getting emotional, you know, when they're like, the word of God says in 1 Corinthians 14, that when the prophetic begins to operate in the church, that God can lay people's hearts bare and they know that the Lord is in their midst. So I wanted Brother Dylan Standridge to come on, Pastor Dylan, and talk about what he does firstly at Iris Global. And I've got a lot of questions about the prophetic. So Dylan, thank you for coming on.
Oh man, it's an honor. It was so fun being down there with you guys in Cleveland. And yeah, it's just incredible. I love seeing all that God's doing through you guys at ISO. And it's an honor. It's an honor to be on here, be a part of this for sure.
Yeah, man. I'm glad to connect with you and have met you. And I just wanted to ask you, so I know your role, you've been at Iris Global. Yeah. Could you explain a little bit about the ministry and as well as what you've done and your experiences as someone in missions and also your experiences in ministry?
Yeah, so I'm kind of a unique hybrid. I don't know what the term is, but I mainly do itinerant ministry at the moment. Mm-hmm. But Iris is a missions movement all around the world, founded by Roland and Heidi Baker. They serve the poor, the broken, the sick, and the needy around the world, mainly in Mozambique. But currently, Iris has about 75 locations around the globe. So I get to run with the most amazing people who have laid their lives down for the ones that the world has forgotten. And, but a big thing that I get to do and I love to do is to travel and train people, in the callings and giftings of the Lord. And so one of those is one of my main gifting is in the prophetic. And, I just love hearing God's heart for people. I love teaching people as well, how to do that for themselves and for others. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, you know, this year I've been, multiple different countries and all over the U.S., just in different churches. Pastor Adam, I was just with Pastor Adam this last week, and he and another friend of mine, we were doing a youth event up in Pennsylvania where we had about 200 teenagers that the Lord just ministered to and we saw set free from suicidal ideation and depression and anxiety and all of that. And then we baptized about 30 of them into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. So
praise God.
I love it all, man. I love training and equipping. I love winning the lost. I love serving the body of Christ, and I love seeing his kingdom come here on earth. So that's a little bit about what I get to do.
Man, that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
We had talked about, I wanted to kind of dive in.
Yeah.
As someone who's grown up in the charismatic, spirit-filled world, one of the interesting things about altar services where people have an expectation that the Holy Spirit's going to fill them and they're going to begin to walk in the power of God. Hmm. There's always this this joke that preachers will tell about when they receive the Holy Spirit, that one person was laying hands on them saying, you know, let go. And the other person was saying, hang on, you know, and there's always that tension of how do I, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent seek it by force, you know, they take it by force. So there's that idea of if you're pursuing God and God sees that you're going after him with your full heart, then you'll gain him. You'll receive the power of God.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a traditional teaching. But I wanted to hear from you. What's been your experience with the activation of the spiritual gifts?
Mm-hmm.
And how did that happen in your life? And how do you feel that it happens according to God's word in other people's lives? What is that initiation process, if you will? Not to make it sound too mysterious.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. The first thing I would say is I don't think there's a formula. I do think there's scriptural basis. Obviously, we can see through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then also into the book of Acts, we can see where the Holy Spirit would fall upon people. But if you look at those different situations, each one of them are unique. You know, you have the day of Pentecost, right? Which we all know about, where it's, you know, the Holy Spirit fell on the crowd and, you know, and it, tongues of fire and, you know, people were saying, oh, it seems like they're drunk and all of that. And then you have fast forward a couple more chapters and you have Peter and Cornelius, right? Who is a Gentile. He wasn't even a Jew and the Spirit of God falls on him. And that, that opens all of us up now to receiving the Holy Spirit. And that's when Peter, you know, that that's why Peter had to find a biblical basis in Acts chapter 2. He said, this is that which was prophesied in the book of Joel, that I'll pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. So I think when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, you know, on our day of salvation, he makes his home inside of our heart. But then there's a time where he comes upon us. And in Acts, it says that the disciples were actually constantly filled. They were continually asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And a few little markers that I feel like, you know, one obviously is the gifts. And I don't think it's secluded to just one gift of the Holy Spirit. I think, I think that the gifts of the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon us. And I think that's a sign. I think another sign is incredible boldness. Just a couple days ago, I was pondering how Peter, before Jesus is crucified, Peter it denies him three times to one little slave girl. And then we fast forward right after the resurrection, 40 days, then they go to the upper room and the Holy Spirit falls on Peter. And what happens is he then stands up and it says 3,000 people were added to the church and this boldness rises up. So I think when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, a boldness, a supernatural boldness comes upon us. Another thing I see is supernatural love. I think it's impossible to love the way we're called to love without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own flesh. But and then the last one is power. You know, miracles, signs, and wonders. The gifts of prophecy, healing, the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all of that that's listed out in 1 Corinthians that Paul talks about. Those are all of that together is this beautiful, beautiful recipe of what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Yeah. You know, you talked about operating when the power of God manifests. You know, you have the gifts and you have boldness and you have love.
Yeah,
man, I've been in some experiences like that where God is so tangible in the room that it causes you to be like extra loving towards people. I remember one time in a move of God, it was like a youth group event. The power of God was so strong in the room that like I saw this dude, I was probably like 12 at the time, you know, and I saw this dude walking around and the power of God was hitting him. We both ended up hugging each other. I'd never seen him before. Yeah. Like I didn't see him anytime after that, but we were like hugging each other. And it was like this place of, you feel the compassion and the love of God for other people so strong that you feel the love of Christ in the room. And, you know, that's something that's so particular. I think when the gifts of the Spirit are operating in order, that love is maximized. That's what I see from Paul in 1 Corinthians when he talks to the Corinthians, because they're operating the gifts, but he tells them in chapter 13, you're going to be, it's going to be unleashed. You're going to have the perfect, the greater thing when you've walked in love, you know? So I love that you said that. That's awesome.
Well, what's amazing, and I preach it quite a bit, actually, just a few days ago and on our online mission school, I preached. So, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is all about spiritual gifts. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is all about spiritual gifts. And then right smack dab in the middle is this whole chapter where I feel like Paul put it in there on purpose because it's all about the love of God. And we've kind of turned that into what is love and quoting it, you know, in a kind of at weddings and things like that, which is beautiful. But I think Paul's emphasis there is you can have all of these giftings, but if obviously if you don't have love, like he says, it says, if I could speak with all languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And so Paul right there is saying, look, you can have all the gifting in the world. But if you're not loving people, we're missing the mark completely.
Wow, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, man, if we're not loving people, then we're missing the whole point and we've lost the plot. You know, Jesus, we know it, right? It's the most quoted verse in all of scripture and even in all of the Bible and all the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him shall have eternal life.
Come on.
And not perish. And so for me, man, that's what I want my life to be. I want to be a representation of Christ in the earth. Mm. And of course I want to move in power. Paul said, I don't come to you with just elegant words. I come to you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And so if I can have the heart of God, while also moving in the power of God, man, I think that's how the church becomes this unstoppable force in the earth.
How do you think it is? This is a little sidebar here. So if you ever want something cut out, you let me know. I don't think this will be, but how is it that there are people, and we know that this is true because scripture says it in the New Testament, but there are people who operate in gifts, but yet don't walk in the love of God and even can have serious sin in their personal life, yet the Holy Spirit uses them. Yeah. Why is that?
So I have a spiritual father, and he told me this at a young age. Anointing doesn't equate to approval. Mm. The giftings and callings of God are without reproach, or some translations say repentance. And I think part of the reason why God actually flows through people is because he just loves people. Mm. He loves the person that the minister's standing in front of. And again, anointing does not equate to approval. Mm-hmm. And so it is a mystery to me. It's one that I don't understand. I don't think we will fully understand. But at the same time, God uses all of us and we're all broken people.
Yeah.
But our goal has to be to live right, to live holy, mm-hmm. To not have those vices in our life or those crutches or those things that we're giving ourselves to. Mm. In Luke 11:34 says, if my eye is single, my whole body's flooded with light. Mm. And so I just want to be a person that if my eyes sing that I want to be single eye focused on Jesus, and I want to love people well. And I'll tell you this, the other thing too is, in scripture, it says when Jesus was moved with compassion, he healed them all.
Wow.
They're all were made whole. And so for me, I think one of the keys to seeing, and we've seen it in the poor, as I've been overseas and multiple places, but especially in Mozambique, man, the miraculous flows when compassion's in the room.
Wow.
When mercy, there is no gospel without mercy. There is no gospel without compassion. And again, it goes back to gaining the heart of God. I don't want just the hand of God. Wow. Meaning I don't want to just flow in the things of God, but Moses prayed this prayer. He said, show me your ways. Mm. And I want to be a man that walks in the things of God, but also in the ways of God. I want his power to flow through me. Absolutely. But I want to live in purity. Mm. I don't want to look at something I shouldn't. I don't want to say something I shouldn't. I want my life to be pleasing unto the Lord. So,
wow.
So to answer your question, I don't fully know. But what I do know is that, again, the anointing just is me being open to being used.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, I'm just the donkey that Jesus gets to ride into town on.
You know? I like that.
I'm just the one that, hey, I'm here and I'm available. And so I just want to be the vessel that Jesus can be seen in my life. And
man.
And one more thing about that, it's one of my life verses. If you see in 1 Corinthians 14, and it definitely does tie into the question. Paul says this, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Mm. And to me, I unfortunately think the church has got those things backwards. What do I mean by that? I think we're pursuing love, or we're pursuing gifting and desiring to be loved.
Mm, wow.
And then what happens, I think, is our identity gets off.
Wow.
So now I'm ministering, whether it's healing or in this case, what we're talking about today, the prophetic, I'm ministering to you, Matthew, for my identity rather than from my identity. And the truth is, whether I'm prophesying or not, whether I'm ministering or not, my identity doesn't change. Mm-hmm. I'm a son of God. And that's where purity flows from. That's where purity of heart comes. It is being a son and finding my identity in that. But if I start ministering for my identity and I start getting my identity from the miracles, signs, and wonders I've seen, or the prophetic words I've given, or the accuracy of those gifts, that's where things get way off really quickly. So I know it was a little long-winded.
No,
but
I love that.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly in line where, when I think of, you know, where the New Testament says, how could that happen? Or where the place that I always think about is Matthew 7, where Jesus says, there are going to be people standing in judgment. And they're going to be saying, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out devils, do many mighty works? And he says, depart from me, for I never knew you.
Yeah.
Which would mean the gifts are for those that are being ministered to in God's mind and heart. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to us and our identity, it has to be intimacy with God.
Absolutely.
It can't be ministry. It can't be what we do as a demonstration of power.
Yeah.
But I think that it is interesting because you quoted Paul in 1 Corinthians early on. He said, I came to you with power.
Yeah.
And that, when there was this struggle over authority, when somebody else was teaching them something that was against the gospel, Paul came with power to combat that and to say, no, that person's lying to you. I'm coming with the power of God. So God's saying, this guy's telling you the truth.
Right.
You know, we've got to fix, say, you got something to say. I can see
Well, that verse that you were saying that Jesus says, where depart from me, I never knew you. That's the most terrifying verse to me in all of scripture. Because could you imagine getting to heaven and you've done X, Y, Z for the Lord and you don't know him? And here's the other thing. At the end of that verse, he says, you who practice lawlessness. And so I think that's another, actually, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you is not just for me to move in power, although it is. So power, love, but then also think to be free from the snares of sin. I think to actually live a holy life, we have to have the Holy Spirit. To actually live a consecrated life where we can say, you know, we put death to the flesh and we've been resurrected with Christ to live a holy life. I think that's another sign of the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit is being able to actually live this life that Jesus has called us to live. Because I don't know about you, Matthew, but when I was young, I tried to do it on my own strength, and that got me nowhere.
Wow.
And so for me, I had to have the Holy Spirit in my life. We have to have him. We can't live this way without him. So
come on.
So yeah, man, I just want to be one who I have the heart of God, the purity and holiness of Jesus, and then also see the power of God flow through my life, man.
Come on. You know, I always like to think, like, there's a noun that is who God is, and that's love. But there's an adjective that best describes him, and it's holy, you know, because the angels don't say loving, but John did say God is love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So those things can't be paradoxical truths about God. Like, they can't be seemingly contradictory. They're the same thing. The love of God and the holiness of God have to be shared things.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
Well, and I know this is a little off topic, but I mean, it's not, right?
Go ahead, man.
It actually isn't, because it's the foundation of moving in the gifts. Like, to me, Jesus says in John chapter 15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command.
Mm.
And so the fruit of holiness and righteousness in my life is loving God. And if I want to please him, I want to love him. And I want to love him well. And for me to do that is to live like him.
Mm.
And I don't want anything in my life that would break my heart.
Wow.
That would break his heart.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, I just don't. So yeah.
Man, I love that. So diving in here, these are some controversial topics because everybody's talking about them now.
Right.
But prophecy.
yeah,
how it works. I know you operate heavy in it.
Yeah.
So Paul says prophecy, he prefers it over tongues.
Yes.
A lot of people, I love speaking in, he also said, I speak in tongues more than you all.
Right.
So
right.
I love speaking in tongues, but why is prophecy superior in your experience? Have you seen that to be true?
Yes. So I think a lot of guys, especially prophetic guys, like to joke and just say, oh, I'm better than, than somebody that speaks in tongues. Well, it's just not true. Mm. My interpretation of what Paul is saying here is this. When a word comes in tongues, and when I say a word, I mean a corporate word. So not when you're in your prayer closet praying in the spirit or me. You know, that's where Paul talks about edifying ourselves. Mm. The gift of tongues coming to edify ourselves. But when he's talking about it being greater, so if a word comes in a church service or someone stands up and gives a word in tongues, the only way for that word to be understood is for the interpretation of tongues to come. So now there's two gifts that are actually needing to happen for the understanding, the edification, exhortation, and comfort to men, which is the definition of what Paul says prophecy is in chapter 14.
Wow.
Prophecy comes to edify the church, exhort the church, and bring comfort to those who need it.
Mm.
Now when a prophetic word comes, it's a word that is not coming from my mind. It's a word that's coming from my spirit. It's completely supernatural. It's not looking at someone and trying to figure it all out. It's nothing weird like that. It's listening to the Holy Spirit and then saying what he says, not adding to it, not taking away from it, not even just saying what he says. But when that word comes, there doesn't need to be a second gift for the understanding of it. So I know that that's very simplistic. But to me, when Paul says that it's greater, that's the reason why, is because people can actually be edified, exhorted, and comforted through one gift. There doesn't need to be any other gifts added to it for the interpretation. And also, tongues, it says, is the sign to the unbeliever, which is really, really unique. And so I've actually been looking into that verse there. And I've thought to myself, you know, when's the last time I prayed in tongues and an unbeliever said, hey, I want what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm like, well, there's more of flowing in the Holy Spirit. Now I also believe in the gift of tongues coming, and I've seen it, where you on the mission field, you may actually get another language. I have a friend, who this is 100% true. He speaks 17 languages. 14 of them came to him supernaturally.
Wow. That's crazy. Oh
my word. Supernaturally came to him. And he's able to fully have dialect. He got English. He's a Mozambican man. He got English in a moment.
Oh my word. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I've seen that in operation. But to me, the gift of prophecy is used again to exhort, build up and edify the body of Christ, the church as a whole, so that we can go after the heart of God together, in our generation.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing, and it has to do with the Holy Spirit in God's covenant people, how the Holy Spirit operates.
Right.
So I'll just throw it to you here. I've talked about this with other people before on the channel, but prophecy, there's kind of this thing that's being talked about, and there's people that believe the Holy Spirit doesn't work in sign gifts, quote unquote, these days. And their big claim is, well, charismatics sometimes will claim a prophecy, and if it doesn't happen, we'll be like, well, it had all these different contingencies, and they'll say, well, that's not true because prophecy, you know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about how prophecies have to be 100% all the time. Mm-hmm. But I've heard some people, and not just charismatics, but like theologians and biblical scholars who study even Old Testament prophecy, there are prophecies that God says these following things need to happen, and this end result will occur. And if they right. don't happen, the following's not going to happen. Right. So the reason I mention that is in the New Testament, it seems to me that unlike the Old Testament, what is true is because the Holy Spirit's given to the whole church instead of specific leaders of a nation, mm-hmm. like in the Old Testament, God has these checks and balances where that's a political term, but like yeah. basically believers are meant to interact with each other, to discern words of prophecy mm-hmm. rather than God putting the Spirit so strong on one person, nobody will question their word and they live or die depending on if it comes to pass. Yeah. So I wanted to get your take on how prophecy works in the New Testament versus the Old.
Yeah. What a great question. So, I like to say it like this. I think Old Testament prophecy points everyone to the cross.
I like that.
I think New Testament prophecy sees people actually through the cross.
Wow.
So what do I mean by that? To me, prophecy is always redemptive in nature. So again, by the standards and the definitions that Paul has given us in the New Testament, New Testament prophecy is always redemptive. Now that doesn't mean you may not see something but if God shows me something that's going on in someone's life that may be negative, sin or something like that, I have to press in to say, okay, God, why are you revealing this? Well, it's because he wants repentance. He wants the fruit of repentance in their life. So I have to be able to look at people through the cross, through what Jesus had paid for on Calvary, because he loves them. Now, in the Old Testament, that we know this is very simple and basic, but it's actually profound at the same time. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God didn't live on the inside of people. And so for me to go hear God, I had to go to the prophet Samuel or Elisha. And oftentimes when the prophets came into town, people were shaking in their boots, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing necessarily.
Usually it wasn't.
Yeah.
And usually it was the Lord, because it was the Lord always pulling his people back, right? Come back to me. What I believe is that the gift of prophecy, and even people that are prophets today, they don't negate, obviously, your personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. So, Matthew, let's say I gave you a prophetic word about. And I'm just obviously making this up, but let's say there was a word that came that was something like you're gonna teach at a university level, one day. Well, you now have the opportunity to take that word and, as Scripture says, weigh that word. So you have to weigh that word, and there's a few ways that I weigh prophetic words. The first one is, how does it resonate with my spirit and the Holy Spirit on the inside of me? If it's not bearing witness to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, something maybe off there. The first way that I would weigh it is through Scripture. So God's never going to speak something to me or to any of us that's going to contradict his word, right? Because he's not schizophrenic. And if you want a surefire prophetic word for your life, I got you a whole bunch right here. These will never fail you. These promises are never, ever, ever going to fail you.
Amen.
And the truth is, God, I said it earlier, God uses us humans. And there are times where we can miss it. We can get it wrong in our own flesh or our heart. Or whatever. But the weighing of the prophetic word is so important. So I would say, your own spirit, how Holy Spirit is saying yes to the word. Is it lining up with Scripture? And then my kind of own personal filter is this: does it sound like a loving father talking to a son or a daughter? So I think someone can prophesy today and in community, maybe miss a word. And to me, if your heart position is to love somebody, well, again, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That just means you may have missed it that day, man. but that doesn't necessarily make you a false prophet. Mm. But I've seen people with the right words and the wrong heart position. And I would say that could be a false prophet.
Wow. Why?
Because if I'm starting to use my gift for my own personal gain, if I'm using my gift to manipulate you, to control you, or bend you to my will or the will of an organization or anything like that, I think that's where we get off into false prophet territory and even sometimes false spirits.
Wow.
So that's kind of my differentiating between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And again, like I said, Paul says 1 Corinthians 14 that the gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and to bring comfort to men. And so that to me is the place that I want to flow from. And oftentimes when I go up to pray for someone and I just want to listen to God, this is something I say, God, what is something that you want to share to Matthew on your heart that will edify him, encourage him, and build him up so that he can run this race well, fulfill the callings of God on his life, and know you, Jesus, better than he's ever known you before. I think we've kind of misinterpreted what prophecy is sometimes, Matthew. Mm-hmm. I think we've made it about future and fortune and all of these things. And obviously it will speak to our future and all of that. But I believe more than anything, the gift of prophecy is about revealing the heart of the Father to his sons and his daughters.
Mm.
And I think if that's the goal of my prophetic ministry is to reveal God's heart to people, then I think God will use us in some powerful ways. And of course, he'll speak about things. He'll speak about ministries. He'll speak about callings and giftings. He's done it with me. I know he's done it with you. But at the end of the day, the gift should be used to reveal God's heart to people. And lastly, I'll say this. I think prophecy to me is not about wowing you with my accuracy, mm-hmm. although I want to be accurate, right? And I want to hear God clearly. But more than wowing you with accuracy, it's about wooing you to a place of intimacy with God.
Mm.
And I think if we could keep those things in right order and priority, we could see a lot more amazing things happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. I think about what you said about what a false prophet is, because even in Deuteronomy, God said, there will be people that, he said, I'll let people come to you and they'll give a word and it'll come to pass.
Yeah.
But they're going to try to lead you to worship other gods. And 100%. That's how you know they're false.
100%.
So I'm like, what is that in the New Testament? Well, that's people that are trying to lead you to another gospel.
100%.
People that are leading you away from Christ or towards a man that isn't Christ.
Yeah.
I think that's powerful, man. That's powerful.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned you wanted to share some testimonies that were on your spirit, man. I want to release you to do that.
Yeah. I just had this happen actually in Pennsylvania. It was amazing. This was not this last trip, but a trip before. I was speaking to a youth group, right? So middle school youth group on a Sunday morning. And, I love when the gifts flow together. So I love when prophecy's flowing, words of knowledge are flowing, words of wisdom, even healing. God is so amazing and he never does anything the same. You know, he's just so creative and he's so relational. And that's what I love the most about him. He loves being in our lives. I love asking him questions. I love talking to him like I talk to you. I just want to know him. I want to know him the way Christ died for us to know him. And so I'm there and I'm in worship, and it's probably a room, small gathering of middle school students and some leaders and adults, probably 30 to 50 kids. And in the middle of worship, I just hear these three names, Matthew. I hear the name Samantha, Casey, and Jane.
Mm.
And I sat on it for a bit. I waited out in my spirit, and I really felt this heavy, heavy, heavy impression. And so I get up to minister. I preach. I'm teaching about Matthew chapter 10, about giving your life away and going out to where you're going to be a sheep amongst wolves and just laying your life down, right? And And then I kind of go into ministry time and I say, hey, is there anybody in here? I'm just going to ask, and I'm okay. You know, I could be missing it, but I just want to take a step out in faith. And oftentimes to me, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking a little bit of a risk. I step out and I say, hey, is there a Samantha in the room? And no one lifts their hands. I'm like, okay, all right. And I say, is there a Casey in the room? And on this side of the room, this young girl stands up and she stands up and says, like, oh, awesome, I'll pray for you in just a minute. And then I ask, is there a Jane in the room? It's the third name I heard. And on this side of the room, actually the room gasped. They went, oh. And on this side of the room, an elderly lady stands up and someone shouts out, Jane is Casey's mom. Jane is Casey's mom.
Whoa.
And so I call them up and Jane and Casey, and I just begin to deliver this prophetic word about healing coming to their family. And all of a sudden, Matthew, the mom, Jane, just shouts out. She says, I had a Samantha. I had a Samantha. I had a Samantha. And before Casey was born, Jane had a daughter named Samantha.
Oh my word.
And the daughter was miscarried before she was born. And so it was this word that it started out with the word of knowledge that God wants to call out his daughters in this place. But it was a multi-level, three-generational word that then came, and the prophetic word came about healing their hearts and pulling them together. And they're just weeping and crying. And again, to me in that moment, it never gets old, because God knows us.
Mm.
And to me, I never want to lose that, Matthew.
Mm.
I never want to lose the fact that God knows us, that the Bible says he knows every hair that's on our head. And so to me, the giftings, the prophetic, the words of knowledge, all of that, it's not a magic trick. It's not some, it's God reaching down into the earth and saying, hey, I want to show these people that I love them and I know them and I'm for them and I know everything that's going on in their life.
Mm.
And it was just this amazing moment, because it came, and it was three names that I just took a step out in faith, and God just, he just loves his people, man. And it was just profound. It was just amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that hit me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My word.
No, it was such a cool opportunity to be. And here's the thing, man, anybody watching, I just encourage you, step out.
Mm.
Just take a risk. If you really want to grow in the prophetic and hearing God's voice, a great place to do it is on the streets. Because here's why. The church, they can be kind of nice and say, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense, when it may not. But on the streets, man, they won't. They'll be honest with you. The non-believers will be honest with you. But man, when you start flowing in it and God starts speaking to you about the waitress and you just deliver a word. I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of times of just grabbing the hand of the waitress at a restaurant, not taking too much time, but just sharing a word over their life or a word of knowledge about some pain in their body, and just ministering and being the hands and feet. And they just begin to weep and weep and weep. And God encounters them right there in the restaurant. It's just the best thing in the world. It's what we're put on the earth for, is to represent Jesus, man.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Oh, I'm almost left speechless by that. And I'm supposed to be talking. No, that's amazing.
Good.
I'm like, because we're just talking about God's heart.
Yeah.
And the gifts of the Spirit are supposed to show the love of God to the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
So where do we go when people want to receive? Like, if somebody said, man, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Yeah. I'm kind of afraid to just give it a chance.
Yeah.
Where do I begin?
Yeah. You know, I've been doing this for a little bit, Matthew, and every time I step out, I'm a little bit nervous. And part of me doesn't want to lose that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of me, I'm sure when you preach or when you teach or when you pray for the sick, part of me doesn't want to lose that. because I think it's a holy and a healthy reverence of God. You know, it's not a light matter to say, hey, one thing I like to do is I like to step out and say, hey, I feel like this. I feel like God might be saying this. Mm. I don't stand up and just say, thus saith the Lord, you know, mm-hmm. because again, I want them to be able to take that back to their own personal relationship with the Holy Spirit and wrestle through that word and weigh through that word. And you mentioned earlier about community. I think community is really important as well. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, the Israelites asked him, they said, what is the word of God for us? And so I love that prophetic words come to us in the sense of community. They come to us not just individualistic, but, you know, if I'm in a room and Matthew gets a word, oh, that's awesome. Because guess what? Now I get to go on that journey with him. Mm. And I get to hold you to that word. Mm. And even when days come and you say, man, I just don't see the promises of God coming to fulfillment in my life. Well, I can say, no, Matthew, I was there. I remember when God called you out. I remember when God said this. So I love that. But I would encourage your audience today, if you're watching this today, just step out and start small.
Wow.
And make this your prayer. God, I want to see people the way you see people. I want to see what you saw on that day when you went to the cross, that you saw us for our potential. You saw us for who we could become. You saw us for the things that you've put us on the earth to be. And so, Lord, just help me to step out and see people the way you see people. I'll tell you another quick story.
Go ahead.
I was ministering in a small island off Australia, Tasmania, actually. And I love going there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I was ministering in a small church of about 40 people. And as I'm ministering, I'm preaching out of Isaiah chapter 53, all the things that Jesus paid for on the cross and the life that he died for us to give. By his stripes we're healed. And as I'm doing it, I hear the Lord so clearly, Matthew, say this, Dylan, call out the man, or he didn't say man, he said, call out the person whose spouse was in a horrific car accident. Now, to be honest with you, I just kept preaching. Mm. And then I heard the voice again. And it came even louder in my spirit. And he said, Dylan, call out the person whose spouse was in a horrific car accident. And so I stopped the message entirely. And I said, hey, guys, I know this may seem strange to you, but is there anyone in this room whose spouse was in a horrific car accident? And about two rows from the back there, a hand gets raised, a big hand, a big man. And he stands up and I just hear the Lord say, Dylan, turn the microphone off, go up to him and begin to share with him. So I turn the microphone off. I walk up to him and I just actually begin to hold him. And the Lord says this, tell him it's not his fault.
Wow.
Now, in that moment, if I was comparing those two words, I would say, well, of course it's not his fault. It was the first word that came was his spouse was in a horrific car accident. But again, it's not my job. It's just to figure it out. It's my job to be obedient to what Jesus is saying. And I don't want to add to the word. I don't want to take away from the word. I just want to say what God's saying. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually holding this man. I'm embracing this man, hugging him. And I whisper into his ear that the Lord says that it's not your fault. He just begins to weep and weep and weep. He's bawling on my shoulder. And I just continue to give him this prophetic word. Well, all of a sudden, the power of God, Matthew, falls on this man. And he crumples into the floor. And it was one of those moments, I'm sure you've seen it, where you just leave him. You know, you're like, I don't want to mess with that. God's doing something. I don't know what's happening. Well, at the end of the service, so I go back to preaching Isaiah 53. At the end of the service, he comes up for more prayer. We pray for him again, and he, bam, just falls out under the power of God. Fast forward about 3 months, I'm in Mozambique and serving the poor there. And I get a 6-page email from a man whose name was Ashley Banks. And it's this man. And he said, and he writes me and he says, Dylan, my spouse was in a horrific car accident. She was the passenger in the car and I was actually driving the car.
Wow.
I fell asleep at the wheel and I was driving the car going about 100 kilometers per hour. That's anywhere from 60 to 80 miles per hour. And he said, I fell asleep at the wheel and I hit a sweet gum tree and our car just completely crumpled in on itself, caught in the flames. The fire department had to come, rip the car open, pull them out of the car. He had 3 hernias and 4 cracked vertebrae in his back.
Man.
So he actually lost his job. He lost his job. And then another thing he said was, he was like, my wife and I would go on walks around our pond every day and we'd just pray to the Lord. And it was kind of a bonding time for them. Well, when I called him out, the word of knowledge came and then the prophetic word came and just brought healing to his heart, to his soul. But then when the power of God just fell on him, which I didn't even know he needed physical healing, all 3 of his hernias and his broken vertebrae were completely healed.
Oh, wow.
And in this email, he wrote me and he said, I have my job back. I'm back in construction and my wife and I are able to go on walks around the pond every day. And so to me, man, that is the gospel. That is the power. When we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit,
man,
it's because Jesus came. He died on a cross so that our lives can be transformed. And he said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life and life abundantly. Whew. And so what I love about that amazing story is that the love of God came and it healed his heart. And the word of knowledge happened, the prophetic word and the ministry of healing all wrapped up into one because Jesus loves this man. And he would speak to a random guy on the other side of the world, right? Because he loves him. To me, that is what prophecy is all about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dylan, man, this has been a huge blessing having you on.
Yeah.
I've been left speechless a few times just from the talk about what the Holy Spirit's done and the stories that you've had of how God's spoken to you and moved to touch people's lives.
Yeah.
Whenever we have something like this, I feel the Lord real strong right now. Mm. And I consider it important before trying to, finish the episode, before trying to like move on to some other point. And I think we're at closing. Yeah. I feel like I want you to be able to pray over me and those listening.
Absolutely.
That all of us would be able to receive that prophetic gift, the anointing, I'll say, to be able to minister to people and the love and compassion of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
To see people that they wouldn't become blurred in the background of our life, whenever we're going around places, but people would be the focus of our life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. Beautiful King Jesus, we love you with all of our hearts. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Father. We thank you for this life that we get to live. That Lord, you have woken us up and you put your spirit on the inside of us. And so Jesus, today we get to run after you with all of our hearts. Lord, I pray for everyone watching. I pray for Matthew as well, Lord, and for myself, Lord, that we would be vessels of the love of God. That, Lord, before it's about gifting, before it's about anointing, Lord, that we would capture your heart. And, Lord, you spoke to me just the other day. You said, Dylan, there's so many people who are trying to release my heart without knowing my heart. And Lord, I want to be a people that know your heart because we can only give away what we have. We can't give away what we don't have. And so, Father, I pray that the highest calling, the highest desire of our lives would be to know you, Jesus, to walk in that purity and that holiness we spoke about earlier. But then, Lord, in that place, we would step out in great faith and take risk to love the people around us. Lord, give us the ability, Lord, give us the compassion, expand our hearts, Jesus, to love you better and to love our neighbor as ourselves, because that's what you told us to do, Jesus. You said that all of the law can be summed up in those things, that if we love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself will be pleasing unto you. And so, Jesus, I ask that over myself, over Matthew and everyone watching. And Lord, I do ask, I don't know how you do it, Lord, but I know there's no distance in the spirit. And so, Jesus, I ask over this Zoom, this call today, this podcast, Lord, would you release prophetic grace into our lives? Lord, would we hear the still small voice, the whispers in our heart of your unction, Holy Spirit? Would we be people that are led by the voice of God in every area of our life? Lord, would we be those who say yes when you say yes and say no when you say no? Lord, when you say jump, would we say how high? Lord, would we be people that are obedient to go anywhere you ask us to go, to say anything you ask us to say, even at the cost of looking a little foolish at times? And Jesus, I thank you that this life is not about us, but Lord, it's about reflecting you on the earth. And so, Jesus, I ask over my friends today listening, Lord, give us a heart to move in miracles, signs, and wonders in the prophetic, in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, tongues, and the gift of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And Lord, I pray that not only would we be those who walk in power, but Lord, we'd be those who walk in love, and that we'd walk in the ways of God and in the things of God. And so, Father, I thank you for that. Lord, and lastly, I pray, would you give us an unquenchable desire to read your word today? Lord, I don't want to be someone who pursues hearing your rhema word without knowing your logos word. And Lord, we want to be a people that know your word. Lord, have a hunger and a desire for the written word of God. And that, Lord, from that place, we can minister effectively. Lord, bless my friends today. Bless Matthew today. And Lord, use them mightily in your earth so your kingdom can come and your will can be done. King Jesus, in your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, man. Oh, thank you so much for praying. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you. It is an honor. Any time, any way I can serve you guys and anybody listening, I just pour my life out. It's like a drink offering to Jesus. So if I can help anyone any way, it's an honor to be with you. Seriously.
Man, and it's been an honor having you on. Guys, I know that this has blessed you today, and I pray that you'd go in peace today and receive what Brother Dylan prayed over all of us. In Jesus' name, we'll catch you next time on ISO Insights.